Yes, indeed. Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk Wednesday, July the 30th. And tomorrow, everyone, we've got football. It is preseason action, the Hall of Fame game, and we'll have it right here for you on WWL. I know it's just the preseason. And we'll probably
what is the Chargers Lions?
Yeah, we'll be five minutes into it. I'll be like, oh, I can't watch this, but I'm excited for the start of football.
Yeah, you look at Tom Benson Field or Tom Benson Field or is it Stadium? I want to say Ms. Galen and Tom, they gave like $10 million to refurbish the stadium and all.
You mentioned that. And what's crazy to me, I thought for sure after the Saints, Mr. Benson, Mrs. Benson contributing all that money would have the Saints in that game. And since they got the naming rights for the field, the Saints haven't been in it.
Well, if we brought back Drew Brees and Sean Payton, we'd be in it. I don't know. Look who's in. Who's sexy right now? Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers and the Lions. The Lions are a sexy team.
If they can stay healthy.
Yeah, but look who's in that game to promote the NFL, going forward. But, you know, I was kind of finding out that I said, man, we're going to Irvine, California, and I practicing against the Chargers. That's a bunch of BS. I mean, it's like,
but we're hearing that that's not necessarily the Saints' decision.
Right, and I'm buddies with, a lot of people don't like Jim Harbaugh. I like Jim Harbaugh. I know John Harbaugh, I know Jim Harbaugh, but I met John Harbaugh through Jim. In 1983, when I was at the Michigan Panthers, I forgot who I was telling
this to. You hear the Michigan Panthers are going to be no more.
My owner, they're going to be no more in Ford Field. We played at Pontiac Silverdome.
Okay.
Which they had a Super Bowl. Remember the Bengals and the 49ers, Joe Montana. I think that was his first Super Bowl win. But Alfred Tomlin, A&W Root Beer. One of the first ones to develop with Bartolo, the old 49ers owner, to put a mall together, the concept of a mall. You know, we talk about the 50s and all that.
What a visionary.
He passed away. But anyway, yeah, so new ownership with the Panthers, so they're not here anymore. But the reason why I bring that up with Jim Harbaugh, you know, the first time I met Jim Harbaugh, he was the quarterback at University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'm quarterback with the Michigan Panthers in the USFL, 1983.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, we won like six games in a row, and the Lions told us, you can't practice no more on our fields. Because the Lions sucked. They had Billy Sims from Oklahoma. The Lions weren't very good. They hadn't been very good for a lot of years. They had Eric Hipple and Gary Danielson. Remember Gary Danielson, CBS, SEC football?
For sure.
Now he's still with CBS. They didn't win anything. And so the Lions
kicked you guys off the field.
The Lions kicked us off. So AC, Anthony Carter, the great AC, Bo Schembechler and University of Michigan. So he makes a phone call. Oh, we got to get on a bus. We're going to Ann Arbor and have practice. And we went in the big house. You know, I went to the big house. You know, hold 100,000, went 100,000 before everybody's doing that type of stadium at Tennessee and LSU and all that. And it's sunken in the ground. So when you look at the outside, until you get on the field, you don't realize how big it is. And it truly, circular. You know, it's not one level higher than the other. It's well balanced. But that's how I met Jim Harbaugh. And so, we reconnected with his brother and all that. And right here in New Orleans, in the Super Bowl, when the Ravens played the 49ers.
Right.
So I got to talk to him. The reason why I'm telling this story, because now Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And one reason why he took that job is like, okay, I'll leave University of Michigan after a national championship. I like Justin Herbert. I think I can win with that guy. So it'll be interesting to see, because Holly's built that team in their offensive line, where the Chargers are at. But I'm like, man, come on. Why didn't he want to practice against the Saints? We just got to look out what's in the best interest of his team. And I think one of the reasons, because when you play in the Hall of Fame game, you go a week earlier than everybody. The Lions and the Chargers go a week earlier than everybody to training camp because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. So he said, we're going to get enough work. We have an extra game. And everybody plays three preseason games.
But we don't need the joint session.
We play in four, yes. So I think it's not like, the Saints are garbage. That'll make us worse. We're not going against them. No, I think it's more they have enough work because they're playing. Now, not good for the Saints, but the four preseason games because of the Hall of Fame game. Just the timing was bad. But I'm we're out there in the West Coast.
Well, shoot, we play the Jaguars, why don't they come in for a little bit?
Yes, that makes sense. We talked about yesterday Houston, Texas, the Interstate 10 rivalry, having that. Well, I don't know. I look at, okay, you wouldn't do it with the Cardinals. You're playing them the first game.
Right.
You're not going to practice against them. So, and then you even look, if you don't want to go the NFC route with the Rams or 49ers, whatever, the Raiders, Las Vegas, that's proximity. I don't know. Could we work out something maybe if we're going to go back to Irvine, if it works out, maybe 2026, the Chargers, that didn't work out, the Raiders. I mean, I'm just looking at the matchups because I think that's important for the players to not always, even though they don't do two-a-days, and it was in the past it was like, no, we got to go get somebody else. I'm burnt out going against the same opponent, that being your teammate, and you're trying to compete with two-a-days to go get somebody else. Now, we're going to have that against the Chargers on Sunday. Do you know out of all the preseason games to kick off the season, you got the Hall of Fame game between the Lions and the Chargers. Do you know who's the last preseason game to kick off the season?
Is it us?
The Saints. The Saints and the Chargers. So I'm thinking off the top of my head, is it 3 o'clock kickoff? Oh, yeah, look at it. Steven, I'm telling you, they have two games on Sunday to start the preseason. And I can't remember who's the first one, but I want to say we had a later kickoff.
3 o'clock Central on the Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and the Sunday,
August 10th.
And Sunday, they have August 10th, they have a 12 noon or somewhere around there, a 12-ish kickoff. But so we can officially be the last preseason game to kick off the season against the Chargers. I know they have a 12. There's only a couple on Sunday.
Yeah, the noon game on Sunday. There's only one other, and that's Miami playing the Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll have that, you know, TV, made for TV, you know, and it's like, that's when, after the Hall of Fame game, it's like constant preseason football, and we love it. It's like Thursday. It's like Friday. It's Saturday. And then two on Sunday.
Yeah, the bulk of the games are on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like four straight days of like preseason football after the Hall of Fame starting, yeah. You know, that foul around August 10th. All that, Steve, when you look at that, like all that August 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, no, it's nothing but the NFL is here for sure. It is here, and we, that last one. I don't know if we've ever been in that situation where the kickoff of preseason, we've been the last game on that Sunday. Because usually we've always been like a Friday, Saturday type deal, but it's kind of where we have, and we have Sunday preseason games. That hasn't been the case in the past, where we have that this season.
The first two are on Sunday, and the final game against the Denver
Saturday.
Broncos on a Saturday.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, usually we'd always have a Friday one, and no Friday. So
we heard from head coach Kellen Moore today after practice, wrapping things up of today's workout. WWL Sound Bank brought to you by First American Bank. Let's hear from the Saints head coach and what he had to say.
Couple just roster things. Jonathan Mendoza, we signed today, offensive lineman from Louisville. So he's with us now, fired up for that. And then we had a couple guys just like go down during practice. Nothing overly concerning there, but Welsh, Ridgeway, and then Juwan. So those guys, but you know, we'll take care of business. I'll communicate tomorrow if there's anything that is going to last beyond a day or so.
If those tight ends do like miss a couple days, how does that affect your roster management? Just given the numbers that are.
Yeah, certainly something we'll just have to keep an eye on. If we have to make any adjustments, we will. And if you just have to adjust some scripts just to, you know, if you don't have the bodies there, you just, you know, play in a little bit of a different personnel group and we'll figure that out.
Now with the pads with a couple of days, now that you've had on for a couple of days, what have you thought of how Trevor Penny has progressed and played?
Yeah, I think for all these guys, that's a huge day. You have your first day of pads, and there's some working through in that situation. And so today I think it was an excellent job by both sides of the football, just being really, really physical. Trevor's done an excellent job. You know, anytime you're in a new position, it's going to take a few days, take a little bit just to get settled in there when you get to the real thing.
So far, have you liked, I guess, as aggressive as you like how he's played that position?
Yeah, absolutely. Trevor's done an excellent job. He's done an excellent job in that position. Again, each and every day you can just see the growth.
You've talked about the importance of the operation and the mental side, getting to some 2 minute today. What'd you like from both of the quarterbacks relevant to the operation?
Yeah, I thought it was really good work for both sides of the football. Even in special teams, we got a couple opportunities as a result of the end of the drive. The communication was really good. I think, you know, defense did a nice job. They had a couple sacks in there, which are going to be critical plays that probably stop drives in those situations in the real deal. And so, you know, it's first day, really good operation.
Does it kind of help you to have those, like, to be dealing with sacks right now as a part of, you know, as opposed to kind of a flawless operation or anything?
Yeah, those are going to happen. I think, important from a defense perspective, those have huge impacts on two-man drives. That certainly is going to have a high likelihood of stalling someone out. And so, offensively, got to clean it up from a protection standpoint, and we'll just keep getting better.
What'd you think about the long ball that Spencer threw that Quincy Riley intercepted near the goal line? Your take on that whole play?
Yeah, it'll be awesome one to watch on film and just have those conversations with the players just to make sure we're good. I thought it was a good, initially, there was certainly we gave ourselves a chance. It was a good ball. Unfortunately, I think Quincy made a phenomenal play going and attacking the football, similar to Julian a couple days ago when he was in here attacking the football. I think our DBs are doing a great job of locating the football, and we got to clean up on the offense side to see it and give ourselves a chance.
Dylan, how do you go about as far as calling plays, like RPOs? I feel like the quarterback, a couple of quarterbacks had nice runs, would have been, plus 12, plus 15. Is that depending on the game plan and the opponent when you're calling those type plays? And I know you utilize that a lot with Jalen Hurts.
So today's installation certainly had some QB run game, as everyone saw. It's available to us. Obviously, there's a time and place for it based off the circumstance of the game and the team you're playing. Obviously, you don't want your quarterback to be getting hit a ton in those situations because you're creating more physical opportunities for him. But when the opportunity presents itself and we feel like it can be a clean look for him, he can protect himself in a positive way, we'll continue to utilize that.
That's two interceptions in camp for Quincy Riley. Obviously, that's a good thing for Torian. What have you liked about him?
Yeah, he finds the ball and he attacks the football. I think that's one thing that we saw on film coming into the draft process. He's a ball guy. That's what you need on the back end. Mistakes are going to happen, but when you create turnovers, those impact games.
Fakula get a nice pass breakup on the ball. To Chichi, how do you think he's been growing throughout camp?
Yeah, this has been a big time camp for Kool-Aid. He's played phenomenal. His confidence every single day. He's just making a ton of plays, and you can just see his ability to transition in the coverage game is really, really good.
He's obviously somebody who, and he was dealing with an injury coming into camp last year and maybe and was kind of buried on depth chart a little bit. When you were doing the review of the team when you took this job, what did you think of the way he played Steven last year?
Certainly felt like he was going to be, we've always talked about, that second year big jump. Sometimes that first year, obviously for him, dealing with some injuries slows you down a little bit in that first year. This was going to be a second year jump. We felt really confident that was going to be. When I was in Philly, we thought really, really highly of him. And, certainly Brandon did, during the draft process the year before as well when he was in San Francisco. So we felt like, we were going to create a really, really good opportunity there for him.
Pretty much Jack Stoll and how he's been doing so far.
Yeah, Jack's done a nice job. Jack's hopped in here. He's played this role of kind of this blocking tight end for a few years when I was up in Philly, and he did a phenomenal job there. And certainly he's got more pass game availability, and so he's been able to show some of that through this training camp, and he's done a nice job.
How much do you think that'll give Jawan more free run having a blocking tight end there when you may run two tight ends instead of having Stoll being able to stay in there and block?
There's always value. Multiple tight end formations are really challenging for defense. They can be put in conflict, especially when you have a guy like Juwan who can play a number of different positions with his background as a receiver. And so, Jack and a number of these guys are doing a nice job. We're going to need a couple of these guys to come up and step up during the season.
One of our worst nightmares today, talking about the tight end position, Bobby, with Juwan Johnson going down with an injury. We found out a groin issue, supposedly not serious, though. We'll miss a couple of days, and I'm hoping that is the case because the depth chart at tight end is really bleak right now because you have Taysom Hill still dealing with his injury. Also, Foster Moreau.
Foster Moreau.
And then we just had Holker. He retired, so he's not even around.
Yeah, he was a flash in the pan. Right. Colorado State versus Colorado. And then, Jack Stoll, I like that guy. You know, like Charlie and Mike, I think y'all had him on. And that's the first time I heard him come to the podium and talk to the media. Boy, I like that son of a gun.
Right.
I tell you, he seems like a football player. He's a team player. He seemed like he would get along with his teammates. He would do whatever the coaches ask him to do. He'll run through the wall. I like that. Now he said, I thought I knew what humidity was till I came down here. He's from Aurora, Colorado, played in Nebraska. But here he is, like a fifth-year veteran.
You know nothing about humidity.
Yeah, he's a football player. I like him. And he's a lot better in the passing game. You think, he's an in-line guy and all. No. Every time they throw him the ball, he don't look like a spastic. I mean, he catches the ball. He had a nice, I want to say, I look at my notes, he had a nice, 15-yard catch today. And, Haner to Jack Stoll, a plus 15. I don't know. I threw many a plus 15s to Hobie Brenner and John Tice.
So you rave about Hobie Brenner all the time.
Because they were the best run blocking tight ends, and then they were serviceable in the passing game. Now, they wouldn't get no yak, but they would catch it if it hit their hands. Jack Stoll, when it hits his hands, he catches it. So, no, it's a great opportunity for him, considering all the injuries we have now at tight end and the lack of depth, because guys we were counting on last season going into this year. And Juwan Johnson, did I jinx him? I just talked a few days ago. I think, how are we going to utilize him? Oh, yeah, well, everybody told me fantasy football, whatever, or to utilize him. Watch Juwan Johnson. I'm looking at my crystal ball.
No more fantasy advice from Bobby.
Yeah, or he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year. He's going to have the numbers to be that type of receiver. My groin's hurt. I mean, get that groin in order. I mean, I don't know. Listen, even if you didn't play any preseason games or rest, can you be ready week one against Arizona?
I sure hope so.
And you're not lingering. It's not lingering. Oh, I'm dealing with a groin injury. No, you got to get over that. We need you hopefully the whole 17 games.
We're heading out to a break. When we return, Aaron Schatz, Chief Analytics Officer at FTN, also ESPN NFL analyst, will join us talking about teams in the NFL most likely to go worst to first. Could the black and gold be in that number? We'll be back right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve and Bobby, Charlie hanging out right now. I'm happy to welcome in Aaron Schatz, a Chief Analytics Officer at FTN, also an ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate the time, Aaron. Your article about the teams most likely to go worst to first definitely grabbed our interest. How you been doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Made it through the offseason.
You know, Aaron, you know, everybody thinking like, and that's why I love the NFL, the parity, because there's hope. And you look Major League Baseball, the money and all involved, you're going to have the have and the have-nots. But that worst to first thing, that when you look at it, there have been 25 teams since the 2002 realignment that followed up a last-place finish with a division title the following year. So that has to give you a lot of hope. You know, this is a good sample size when you think about it, that's not far-fetched. You know, whether you're in Chicago and the Bears, oh, I like our coaches. I get Caleb Williams. I like our supporting cast. Oh, you look at the 49ers. They can't be banged up again. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they're all healthy. Christian McCaffrey, they won six games because they were beat up. And then all of a sudden, 6-11, 11-6. I'm not saying that would happen, but you wouldn't be shocked. So when you break this down, worst to first, so what is your take when all the investigation you've done with that?
San Francisco is clearly the team most likely to go from worst to first. First of all, they were not that bad last year. In my advanced ratings, they were 13th. They were basically the best 11-loss team of the last 40 years. And when you add health to that, and the easiest projected schedule in the league, so I actually have San Francisco as the favorites in the NFC West.
You know, I mean, you look at the favorites, and that's why the whole worst to first. Now, when you look at our Saints, and are you optimistic? Because, you know, it's a different scenario. You land Sean Payton and the young Drew Brees, and all of a sudden, I still don't know how we were the second seed. We were 10-6. We went to the NFC Championship game, lost to the Bears and Rex Grossman. And, you know, when I look at that, to go to the Super Bowl. But Katrina, dealing with that adversity, we were the traveling All-Stars. Playing at LSU, playing in San Antonio. We were 3-13. We went from 3 wins to 10 wins. Now, I think, the Saints haven't winning 5 games. I think if we win 6 or 7, Hebert, that's still a losing record. But I don't know. I think we're trending in the right direction. So I don't know if we can go worst to first in the NFC South. But when you're looking at that over and under 5.5, and it's obviously you look at quarterback play, I wouldn't necessarily agree with you with the 49ers being that team, but who would be your second team? It's probably not the Saints, but who would be that second team? Is it the Patriots? I don't know, Raiders? The Bears, to me, the Bears' schedule's too tough. And look at the NFC North. But you break that down, what you think, because the 49ers, I think a lot of people would agree with that. But, okay, who's maybe that other worst-to-first possibility?
I mean, you are right about the Chicago schedule being hard, but everybody in that division has a hard schedule. So I do have Chicago as the second most likely team to go worst to first, and the Patriots as the third, as the Patriots as third, but they're very close together, the Bears and Patriots. I really like the Patriots to be a team with a lot of upside. You know, Drake May is really good if they can just put enough around him. And so the question is, like, have they added enough to their offensive line? Is Stephon Diggs healthy to be their number one wide receiver? A lot of questions there. Like, also, just how much has the coaching improved? Because I feel like we may be giving Mike Vrabel a little too much credit as far as how good a coach he is, but at the same time, we may not be quite realizing just how bad a coach Jerod Mayo is. When you talk to people about him not like knowing which meetings to hold on which days. So there could be a lot of improvement with the Patriots just from the coaching change.
Now, what is your take? It's always, I don't know, look at the AFC South, NFC South, whatever. It's not the sexiest division. But Cam Ward and where the Titans are at. You look at the Texans, C.J. Stroud, the sophomore slump. I think the one team, though, I look at the Colts. The Colts are, man, you better pack a lunch. They way better than you think. Now, their quarterback situation, what's going to happen there? And I don't know, the Prince. Will the Prince show up in Jacksonville? But what's your take on the Titans and Cam Ward? Because that's one team people aren't giving them. Because usually if you're the number one overall pick in the quarterback, you get a lot of hype. But the Titans are definitely under the radar in Cam Ward. No one's talking about them.
I know, man, but you just don't know. That's the thing. Think about Caleb Williams last year, right? Like, so many expectations, didn't play that well. You have to assume that rookie quarterbacks will be bad. Now, sometimes they're not. And when they're not...
Jaden Daniels?
Right. C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
But you have to assume that they're going to be bad. And so your expectations for the Titans are not good. Plus, the Titans have the number 30 projected defense by my numbers.
Okay.
You know, you have to hope that L'Jarius Sneed gets healthy and there's unheralded additions like Draymond Jones, but the Titans just haven't drafted a lot of defensive contributors in recent years.
Now, what is your – with the Saints? I'm looking at the NFC South because, Aaron, when you look at – I don't know. We were once winning the division a number
of years
in a row.
Right.
Yeah. So now the Saints have – we can't – you know, Saints, who that nation. We can't be five straight years without being in the postseason. But you look at Tampa Bay. Boy, you're talking about, like, Baker Mayfield, what he's been able to do. Boy, I was wrong on that one. You know, the whole Cleveland experience, and then he bounced around, you know, Carolina, and then he goes to the Rams. And, boy, what he's done in Tampa Bay, boy, I like how you handle adversity. Baker Mayfield, to me, has been outstanding. But looking at the Saints right now, why – from a national perspective, no one gives the Saints a chance. Oh, you better take the under, you know, 5.5. And then, oh, they only favored in one game. And unless you part of the Houdat Nation, the Gulf Coast, Gulf South Saints, us, that they go, oh, you better look at 2026 because they have no chance this year. All I know is watch. I can tell you, Aaron, I think that an offensive line, because what they've invested in that is going to come together. Now, you got to protect the football and all that, but it's going to keep him in games and give him a chance maybe to win 6 or 7 games. I wish they'd go worse to first, but I don't know if I could see that happening.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot of expectation for Tyler Shuck. I think that's really what it comes down to, is that as far as, you know, the expectations for a first-round quarterback have to be low, the expectations for a second-round quarterback are even lower. And again, you can surprise, but it's just not likely. And Rattler, I don't think people really believe in either. If he becomes the starter, I agree with you. They've used a lot of draft capital on the offensive line, but there's some other holes. The defense, again, there's a lot of older guys on the defense, players who were great at one time, but they're in their late 30s now, like DeMario Davis, Cameron Jordan. You know, there's guys they've added where, you know, they've added guys, but I don't know if they've added, like, real difference-maker guys, right? Like, so...
Yeah.
So there's not – they're projected with a bad defense. They're projected with a bad offense. But they're also projected with an easy schedule. And if they overperform what the expectations are, you never know. I do think that Tampa Bay is a better team. Sometimes people nationwide think about Tampa Bay and think, well, they play in the NFC South, so they just get into the playoffs, whatever. They're not.
Tom Brady's not there anymore.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay, I think Mayfield is playing well. You know, Mike Evans is still awesome. Chris Godwin, if he's healthy. Kristen Wirfs, when he gets healthy. Defensively, they've still got some players. Tyke Smith, surprisingly good rookie year last year. Antoine Winfield, when he's healthy.
Stud like running Devontae back.
David should be a Hall of Famer, frankly. Yeah, stud running back. So I think Tampa Bay is a team that's a bit underrated.
Now, Aaron, I don't know, maybe I'll look at a dark horse, the Raiders. The Raiders, I mean, I think it's good for the NFL. The Raiders are relevant, even though they're in Las Vegas. It just seems like, you know, the evil empire, Darth Vader, whatever. Looking at the Raiders, I've always been a Pete Carroll fan. I think he's drunk from the fountain of youth, his energy. Hope I have that energy. What, he's like 72, 73 now? I hope I would that
have.
Yeah, I hope I'd have that kind of energy. But I tell you, I'm a Geno Smith fan. Let me tell you why I'm a Geno Smith fan. I think he's way more accurate than people give him credit for. And I can remember, Steve, you remember when we looked at the Saints game? He made five or six throws. I said, that's about as good as it gets in NFL history. When he was with the Seahawks,
right?
I go, that receiver really wasn't open. That throw was unbelievable. And in one game, he did that not one or two times. It was like five or six times. So Geno Smith, and you look at Pete Carroll, and you look, they got the running back, you know, the
Ashton Jeanty.
Yes. So I don't know. The Raiders might surprise people. Hey, Bobby, how can you say that? Look at the AFC West.
Yeah, that's a damn tough division.
You got the Chiefs, you got the Chargers, and Sean Payton, the Broncos. But the Raiders might surprise people. I'm not saying they're going worst to first, but I don't know. I'm looking at a dark horse. That Raiders fans might spoil a few opponents' Sundays.
I think the Raiders are very mediocre, and I say that in a good way, in that, you know, some teams, like with young quarterbacks, have a wide range of possibilities because you don't know what you're getting. I think with the Raiders, you know what you're getting. We know who Geno Smith is. We know who Pete Carroll is. I don't see this as a team that's got enough talent to win 11 or 12 games. I also don't think they're going 5-12. I think there's a team that's going to win, like, 7-8 games.
Okay.
Be better than people think, right? Offense will be better than people think. Brock Bowers, of course, is awesome. Jeanty, right, as a rookie. But they're depending on some rookie receivers, too, right? Like, they're probably going to start either Jack Besh or Dante Thornton, possibly both of them. So, and Alex Kappa, they brought in to play right guard, was horrible last year. And other guys that they brought in weren't that great. Eric Stokes was bad for Green Bay last year. So I think they're a team with a low range of possibilities. Like, they're going to be very average.
Talking to Aaron Schatz, you can check out his article, Ranking NFL's Most Likely Worst to First Teams for the 2025 Season at ESPN.com. And I think no surprise here on the list, way at the bottom with the least likely chance of going worst to first, those good old Cleveland Browns. The quarterback situation there, such a mess. Who knows what's going to end up happening. But we know that Deshaun Watson is still not healthy enough to be on the field for this team. You got Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett. Just curious, you know, looking at this Cleveland Browns team, I guess the only thing they really have going for them is their defensive side of the football.
Well, defensive side of the ball, and they got, listen, I'm a Joe Flacco fan. That means I'm old. I mean, all I know is Joe Flacco, you know, who's the comeback?
He's old, too.
Who's the comeback player of the year in 2023? Joe Flacco. You know what? I always say this, Aaron. There's 32 teams, but there's not 32 starting quarterbacks. Why in the hell you think, I don't care how old they are, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, they always have a job? Because they bring stability. So the last time the Browns, you remember, I think they lost to the Texans in the playoffs. But Joe Flacco, stability, that's the only reason why he's still there. Listen, the quarterback is hard to play at the highest level, and they have too many teams and not enough quarterbacks. That's why you have the likes of Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco. I don't know. Listen, you might say, well, he's a statue back there. But he knows what he's doing, and he brings stability. There's nothing more than coaches like stability. Now, you look at the upside. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Kenny Pickett's now hurt, what he's dealing with. But you look at Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. But that's why. Well, why would you go with an old man, Joe Flacco, instead of these young guys? Because he knows what the hell he's doing. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Well, I mean, I had a friend who worked for the Tennessee Titans years ago said they loved the fact that Neil O'Donnell could basically fall out of bed and play quarterback without preparation. So when you got a veteran like that, like that's what you've got. But when you look, you want to talk about good things in Cleveland, it's the defense. That defense declined significantly last year because of some bad play in the secondary, but they're likely to improve. They still have Myles Garrett. They still have Jim Schwartz as the coordinator. They have Mason Graham now. They have Carson Schlesinger now. They just lost Emerson to an ACL injury, but I think an Achilles injury. But that defense should be better this year. But the offense is a mess. The offense is a total mess. It's like Jerry Judy and it's Jerry Judy and some dudes. The offensive line is the amazing thing. Four of their five starting offensive linemen are free agents at the end of the year. So if you think the Browns are a mess now, wait until after this year when they have to figure out which of these offensive linemen they're bringing back. And that's the strength of the offense.
You know, Aaron, another on that worst of first, and I look at the Commanders where they're at, and obviously the world champ, the Eagles. And the Saints can't win. It's always good when the Cowgirls lose. You know what? I was telling Steve Geller this, the Who Dat Nation, you know, it would be a great game for Jerry Jones. I don't know. He might pass away if this would happen. If the Texans would play Dallas in the Super Bowl and get so close but so far and lose to the Houston Texans, how can you be world champs when you're not even state champs? But I look at the NFC East, and you look at Dallas, you look at the Eagles, you look at Washington and the New York Giants. You know one thing I know about the Giants? And the linemen are aware of this, especially offensive linemen. You better pack a lunch if you're playing against that Giants defense and that front seven. That's one thing they got going for them. I don't know what's going to happen in the QB room with Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. When's going to come out with Jackson Dart and all that. But I tell you what, I really like that Giants D-line or that front seven.
I know, man. But if you can block those guys, right, the secondary is not that good. Right. Paulson Adebo was targeted a ton last year. Saints, Deontay Banks has so far sort of disappointed. I think that obviously blocking those guys is really, really hard because they're going to, unlike passing downs, they're going to bring in Thibodeau and have him play at defensive tackle, and then that's just a ridiculous defensive line. You're right, the offense is a mess. I'm not a big believer in Dallas this year. I'm not a big believer in Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach. Do really like Washington, still really like Philadelphia.
Aaron, thanks so much for the time, man. And like you said, we've made it through the offseason. Football, it's just the preseason, but it is back tomorrow. Thanks so much for your time.
If everybody wants to read my preseason takes, FTN Football Almanac, search for it, ftnfantasy.com/almanac.
Will do for sure. Appreciate the time again, Aaron. Have a great one.
Thanks, Aaron.
Right, you too.
Aaron Schatz, Chief Analytics Officer at FTN, also ESPN NFL Analyst. You can follow him on X at ASchatzNFL. That's ASchatzNFL. Taking a break, be back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. All right, talking about preseason football tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game. You can hear it here on WWL. We'll have that at 7 p.m. for you. Well, if you want to win tickets to the Saints' first preseason game against Jacksonville, Sunday, August 17th in the Caesars Superdome, you could score two premium tickets to the game and cheer for the Black and Golden Star. Just enter in a breeze starting today. Go to WWL.com/contest for your shot at a pair of tickets to the Saints preseason showdown against the Jags. That's from Odyssey and the Saints Radio, WWL. We're going to take a break, be back with more right after this, folks. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio. Wrapping up this hour of sports talk, when we get back into it next hour, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will join us to give his practice rundown and his notes, along with getting back into Bobby's notebook to see what his thoughts were on today's session. A lot of good stuff from the quarterbacks. We finally saw some deep balls today, Cajun Cannon.
Deep balls, not one or two, but like three or four. And you know what's going to be exciting? I'm looking forward to tomorrow's practice. I think it will be as intense as today because it's going to be inside. Yes, it will be like the Superdome, a controlled environment. So there better be a pep in their step, and I think it will be. I think it will be. And we'll talk about the future and maybe of the Saints playing on the Hall of Fame weekend. You know, that whole weekend thing. And
could be coming soon.
Could be coming soon. We'll talk about that after the break.
Good tease, Cajun Cannon. Here's the top of the hour news break. Be back with more sports talk right after this. Who dat?